Good evening. I ask you to turn to Deuteronomy 4, as you see before you. Another encouragement from Vacation Bible School is the number of workers that are actually been here on the campus during Vacation Bible School. I know that Monday we had 65 workers. I'm assuming it's been about the same every day, and that is such an encouragement. I know it is to Jim and Scott, and it sure is to me as well, to see that many people involved in so many different ways, and then a lot of other folks praying, and folks that have been giving. All of those things are essential to this work, and we can all work together in it, and that's such a blessing and a joy, a great opportunity for outreach to be able to share the gospel with this many children at one time. So we praise God for that. Deuteronomy 4, we've been looking a little bit at two particular verses in this chapter. The context is the temptation to idolatry, specifically for the nation of Israel as a new generation was getting ready to go into the promised land after the previous generation had failed to believe God and had wandered in the wilderness as a result, and now it's time for them to enter, and Moses is warning them and instructing them and giving them a couple of the characteristics of God, and that's what we're really looking at. So we're going to, again, just consider these two thoughts. The Lord your God is, first of all, a jealous God, and we see that down in verse 24. We'll begin at verse 23. We read, "Take heed to yourselves, lest you forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which He made with you, and make for yourselves a carved image in the form of anything which the Lord your God has forbidden you. For the Lord your God is a consuming fire, a jealous God." A jealous God. And then we'll move on down and notice in verse 31, and we'll begin our reading in verse 30, but we'll see there in 31 that He is a merciful God. Verse 30, "When you are in distress, and all these things come upon you in the latter days, when you turn to the Lord your God and obey His voice, for the Lord your God is a merciful God. He will not forsake you, nor destroy you, nor forget the covenant of your fathers, which He swore to them." Depending on how your Bible is divided up, it's likely that you'll notice that those two characteristics are the concluding words of consecutive paragraphs. He ends one paragraph reminding them and us that the Lord our God is a jealous God, and then the very next paragraph ends with something that is not a contradiction, but very much and not an opposite either. I don't want to say that, but it's on the other side of our thoughts. As we think about God being jealous and God being merciful, and we've mentioned that as a jealous God, God is passionate and He is warning us. And as a merciful God, we see that He is compassionate and He is wooing us. So we want to continue just a few thoughts on this idea of God being a jealous God. We've already seen that He's passionate about us. He expresses intense or strong feeling or emotion. We might also call it zealous. Our God is a zealous God. And we know that He is jealous in the relationship that we have with Him because He is worthy of our exclusive affection. He is the only one that should receive the focus of our affection, the affection of our hearts and of our lives. And He is worthy of that, and He is a jealous God. And if my loyalty or anything else is divided or diverted from Him, then He is rightfully and righteously jealous. He resents any rivalry to Him. And that is not in any type of selfish, self-centered way that we would think of as human beings, but rather from the perspective of the Almighty God, who is worthy of our complete loyalty. And also, He is jealous for us. Jealous because He knows what any diversion from a focus upon Him and a loyalty to Him, He understands being omniscient. He knows what that means for us in our own lives, a very negative way. So in His jealousy, He warns us. A jealousy motivated by His righteousness, His holiness, His love. In Exodus 34:14, He says, "You shall worship no other God, for the Lord whose name is jealous is a jealous God." He said, "My name is jealous." And His jealous, as jealousy we see here in verse 24, is coupled with a righteous indignation and anger, symbolized in the phrase, a consuming fire. And as a consuming fire, He incinerates as He chooses. And we think of fire, and we think of the damage that fire can do. And we have seen buildings that were firm, solid structures, and then we saw them reduced to ashes by fire. And God says about Himself, "I am a fire. I am a consuming fire. And I am jealous, and this fire of My jealousy is a consuming fire." And we saw last time that as a consuming fire, He may choose to consume our enemies, those who oppose our exclusive relationship with Him, and hinder the blessings for us that are associated with that relationship. He desires for us to have those blessings experienced in our lives. And when an enemy gets in the way, and whether it's someone or something that actively opposes my exclusive relationship with Him, or even if it's someone or something toward whom I am leaning toward something that is not beneficial for me, He is passionate about my undivided affection, and He may choose to consume that. But other times, His consuming fire touches not so much our enemies, but touches more our own lives. And we may question that a little bit initially. A number of years ago, I found out as a husband that there was a man who was planning to cut my wife open and remove one of her organs. Now, when I first tell you that, you might think, well, I hope you protected your wife. As a jealous husband, you would think I would be, and I was jealous for her. And that's why I let Dr. Streck go in and take her appendix out, because it needed to come out. She was sick. And he needed to go in and remove that surgically. You see, sometimes we are jealous for someone we love, and therefore we allow something that will be painful and difficult to come into their lives because we are jealous for them and we want what is best for them. And in a much greater way, our God, who is a consuming fire, as He looks down upon us in His jealousy, He may choose to incinerate something that is in our lives. It may be our dross. Look at Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 1, and we see here Jehovah speaking to the nation of Israel, and we have application to our own lives as He speaks of Himself here as a fire. Isaiah chapter 1. Look at verse 24 as Isaiah begins this prophecy toward Jerusalem. "Therefore the Lord says, the Lord of hosts, the mighty one of Israel, I will rid myself of my adversaries and take vengeance on my enemies." And there He is as a consuming fire toward the enemies of His people. But notice verse 25, "I will turn my hand against you and thoroughly purge away your dross and take away all your alloy." And we understand how metals are placed into the fire, not that they will be consumed, but that the dross, that what is not valuable, what is not precious, that will be incinerated and that will be melted away. And God says, I am a consuming fire and I will come into your life because I love you and I am jealous for you. And I don't want to see any of this dross, any of these impurities in your life, getting in the way of your fellowship with me. That is what God is saying to you because He loves you. He's jealous for you. And His jealousy may be seen as a consuming fire. This speaks of a future day, but notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and again we see Him here as a jealous God. And we see Him working, and I think there's an application also to us today. This is speaking of our lives at His judgment seat, when He judges us, not for our sin, but for our stewardship and how we used what He put into our possession. And he says there in verse 12 of 1 Corinthians 3, now if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. And that's a future day when God is going to look at our works in our lives, the things that we did with what He entrusted us, and the Lord Jesus is going to burn away everything that was not of Him, not empowered by the Spirit, not for His glory. It's going to be burned away. And I believe there's a sense in which God, in His jealousy, will not necessarily only wait until that day, but even in this day, may look down and say, I don't want you serving me in your own strength. I don't want you trying to exercise your stewardship for your own glory, which, incidentally, the Corinthian church was infamous for doing. And may it be that even today He would burn some of that away to help us to see what really matters, what really counts, how to really serve Him by His strength, yielding ourselves to Him for His glory, allowing His power to work through us. He is a jealous God. He is a consuming fire. So how will we respond to the fierce and fiery jealousy of our God? Look at Hebrews chapter 12. As we mentioned before in this study, this is not just an Old Testament concept of Jehovah. Oh yes, in the Old Testament, He was a consuming fire, but this is the New Testament. This is the church age. This is the age of grace, and that is all very true. But our God is still a consuming fire. And we read that in Hebrews chapter 12 and verses 28 and 29. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. Not our God was a consuming fire. No, our God is a consuming fire. You see, our God is worthy of our complete and focused loyalty. He is worthy to be pleased. Everything that I do should have His approval as my motive. He said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And we want to hear that, don't we? Good and faithful servant. We want to know that we are pleasing Him. And the only way we're going to please Him is when we do it by His Spirit, when we walk in the Spirit, when we yield to Him working in and through our lives. Only when we seek His glory rather than our own glory, His purpose rather than our own will, only then will we truly serve Him acceptably, with reverence. wanting to make sure He is honored by what we do and what we say and what we think. Making sure that He is respected, that we are cautious in how we live in the sense of being cautious to stay away from sin and to beware of those things that may get between us and Him and the fellowship that He longs to have with us in His jealousy as a consuming fire. That we would be careful. Might we ask ourselves, is there anything in my life that is impinging on the exclusive claim that the Lord Jesus has on me? Is there anything? I even think of our responsibilities to our loved ones, to our spouse, to our children, to our employers, to our local church, to the civil authorities. How do we reconcile God's demand for exclusivity with the requirements that we have in our loyalty to others? Well, I would suggest that a proper execution of God's design for me in the relationships which I have in this world will have Him as the focus, not me and not that person. As I love my wife, I'm to do so as Christ loved the church, and my ultimate motivation should be for His glory, that I am yielded to Him, that I am loving her by the power of the Holy Spirit, that I am loving my brothers and sisters in Christ for His glory. And yes, they will be benefited. Yes, you will be edified, we trust, and you will be as we serve one another for the glory of God and in His strength. Is there anything in the way, material possessions, pleasures related to this world? Is there a desire within me, within you, for position or prestige or how others will view us or how we feel about ourselves that is somehow getting in the way of our loyalty to God? And Satan may be using that. Satan may be promoting that, using a good thing. He attacked the Lord Jesus with Scripture. He will attack us with whatever it takes. It may be a good relationship, and he will try to use that and twist that. David Crowder wrote a song called How He Loves. Speaking of the love of God, I just want to read just a little bit of it for you in closing. He says, He is jealous for me. Loves like a hurricane. I am a tree, bending beneath the weight of His wind and mercy. When all of a sudden I am unaware of these afflictions, eclipsed by glory, and I realize just how beautiful You are and how great Your affections are for me. And oh, how He loves us. Oh, how He loves us. Oh, how He loves us all. He's a consuming fire in His jealousy. It's a jealousy of love. I wish we had time to move on into the other thought of His mercy, because that's somewhat the flip side, or where it all kind of merges together for us as we see that mercy, that compassion, as He woos us back to Himself. Oh, I'm going to take real quick. I don't want to leave it here. You'll give me 2 minutes, won't you? Thank you. Verse 31, we've already read it. God is compassionate. He feels for us when we are going through the fiery trial, maybe even that He has brought upon us because of His jealousy for us, even when it's of our own making, like He said, it will be for you, Israel, not if, but when this happens. I am a jealous God. I'm a consuming fire. But He was moved by their sufferings. And He's moved by our sufferings. He's moved by our stumblings. He is touched by the feeling of our infirmities. And He is wooing us. Come back to me. Come back to me. It's not any matter of stay away, but it's rather examine yourself and so let Him eat, and so let Him drink, So let us fellowship with Him at the Lord's Supper, but every moment of every day. And when we come to the end of ourselves, there He is waiting. And He's been wooing all along, moved with compassion for us. And tonight, He's wooing us to Himself. He deserves our exclusive affection. And if we've turned away after anything else in any area of life, He is lovingly calling us back by the Holy Spirit and through His Word. Don't hesitate. Don't hesitate to repent and turn back to Him. He's a jealous God. He's a merciful God. He is passionate about our relationship with Him, and He is compassionate toward us in our tendency to drift toward lesser things. May we heed His warning. May we heed His wooing. Let's pray. Father, we thank You tonight for Your character. We thank You that You don't change. We change, we're up and down, we try to put on a front for some people and change that for other people. Father, we thank You that You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Father, we thank You that You're a jealous God. Father, even as we think of godly fear and reverence at You being a consuming fire, we still thank You for that because we know it is only used for our good. Your glory. And we know that those are the same thing. So Father, we pray that You will help us to appreciate Your jealousy and to rest in Your mercy. Thank You for warning us. Thank You for wooing us. Thank You for being passionate about Your relationship with us and compassionate toward us. We are so undeserving, but we are so, so thankful. And we commend ourselves to You and thank You in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. May the Lord bless you. Thank you for those extra minutes.